It's Wednesday afternoon, and I'm in the garden of the English College, just about to go back to the next session of this Synod of Bishops, the Extraordinary Synod, on the pastoral care of the family in the context of evangelisation. So far, we've had two full days of work, and we've listened to about 100 speeches. So already, some of the great picture of the Synod is beginning to emerge. One of the things that's really interesting is that each session, and each session has its own theme, begins with a talk by married people. So they have the first say and kind of set the scene for us. And I think the biggest picture in that scene is the underlying confidence and desire to convey to our societies today that the family is an absolutely crucial part of our well-being, and that God's design for the family, made possible in our life in Christ, is critical for our future. So there's a desire to, how can you put it, make an announcement again, to really announce the good news of the family. Now, I think the second thing that's very clear is that we're going to have to find some fresh ways of doing that. Quite often, the truths of the gospel come across as tried and tired, though I don't think they're either, actually. So we're looking at this challenge of, where do we get new imagery from? What are the means we use? Is the truth about the family best shown rather than argued? Are there ways of getting its underlying truth across through art and drama? And I've been thinking quite a bit about the 1010 Theatre and the good work that they do. So that's a challenge as well. And then this morning especially, we've been listening to the most vivid descriptions of the situation of the family in different parts of the world. So this morning we heard from the Ivory Coast, and the bishop used a lovely phrase about the family is the school of gentle living. We heard from the Middle East, from Lebanon and Morocco, and some of the issues that arise when Christians and Muslims marry. We heard from the Democratic Republic of the Congo and the issues there. We heard from China, a wonderful story of a group of professional men who joined the Cultural Revolution were imprisoned. They were imprisoned for 10 years. When they were eventually released, the only wife who was still waiting for her husband was a Catholic. She was the only one on the railway station waiting for her husband's return, and he promptly became a Catholic, having seen that fidelity in his wife. We heard from Gabon, from Slovenia, from the Cameroons, where it's culturally understood that the family is a means of reconciliation. When children from two families marry, they exchange spears as a sign that there will be no more conflict between them. And if the young married people get into trouble, into difficulties, then the families see it as their responsibility to help sort it out. We heard from India, from Mozambique, from Peru, where, you know, we were told the patterns of marriage down on the coast of Peru take one form, up in the Andes take another form, and in the Amazon basin, yes, a third form. We heard from Vietnam. And in many of these, the question that is coming to the fore is, how does society's forms of marriage, which are deep-rooted, and of course marriage predates Christian marriage, how do these various forms relate to the canon law requirements of the church? And they don't always fit, and there are many bishops speaking of how they try and handle that dilemma, where, for example, people might have married in a traditional way, and from a human point of view, it's proper, but they're not willing to go then through another form, through the canonical form of marriage, or when Christians and Muslims marry in certain countries, but will not accept a formal Christian ceremony. How can the Christian wife, the Catholic wife, for example, continue to receive the grace of the sacraments. So there were many issues there for us as well. I think two other things that have been coming up, and don't forget, we've only been at 2 days into the synod and there's many more to go. But there are some quite interesting theological themes opening up as well. How we handle St. Paul's analogy of the love of Christ for his church as the love of man and a wife. What about the law of gradualness, the stepping stones towards holiness that we try to encourage each other along? What about marriage as a particular way of holiness, and what part does sexual intercourse play in that pathway of holiness? We heard a little bit about how we need to recognize the effects of original sin and see the importance of grace. And we've also been talking a bit about the Eucharist and the Eucharist as food for those who need strength and support, but also the Eucharist as an act of commitment to the mission of Christ in the world today. And then, of course, this is a synod on the pastoral response, the pastoral care. So there's been a lot of initial points made about the importance of marriage preparation, about the importance of associations and groups of families working together, about the importance of walking with people in whatever their circumstance might be, about the difficulties of those who are in irregular situations, issues about how we recognise what is required for the true validity of a sacramental marriage, and how can those qualities be tested in a way that is a bit simpler than the rather complicated canonical procedures at the moment. Well, that's quite a lot for just 2 days. And I better go now and return to the Synod Hall and catch the next lot of contributions that are gradually, like a mosaic, forming the big picture of this Synod.